Welcome back to our Nach Yomi series on Sefer Yirmiyo. In today's show, we're studying Perek Lamed Vav, Chapter 36. Chapter 36 will be very interesting. It will contain yet another story from the fourth year of Yehoiakim, like we saw in Chapter 35. But it will also contain a lot of information that will help us understand how the book of Yirmiyo came about, and will also help us appreciate many of the shiurim that we've studied so far, especially in regard to the popular opinion that it was possible to fight the Babylonians. So let's begin with Pasuk Aleph. ויהי בשנה הרביעית ליהויקים בן יושיהו מלך יהודה, היה הדבר הזה אל ירמיהו מת אדוני למור. This is another prophecy that God tells Yirmiyahu something special to do in the fourth year of Yehoiakim. Recall the fourth year of Yehoiakim is the same year when Yirmiyahu gave his prediction that the Babylonians are going to take over the Middle East, and he encouraged and warned not only the king of Israel, but the kings of all the nations of the Middle East, that they should accept Babylonian sovereignty that we saw in chapter 25. That Nevuah, Perek Chafei, will be lying in the background of our study today. Now listen what God tells Yirmiyahu to do. Pasuk Bet. Kach lecha migilat sefer, take a scroll of parchment, v'kadavta eleha et kol hadvarim asher dibarti elecha al Yisrael v'al Yehuda v'al kol hagoyim. I want you to write in this Megillah all the things that I've told you to tell Yisrael and to Yehuda and about all the nations around. Miyom dibarti elecha mimei Yoshiyahu v'ad hayom hazeh. From the time that I began speaking to you, since the 13th year of Yoshiel, until this day, the 4th year of Yehoiakim, some 22 years, God tells Yirmiyahu it's time to publish. Why are we publishing this specifically now? We're going to see very soon. This will be one last chance to do proper repentance before it's too late. Ulai yishmu beit Yehuda et kol hara asher nochi choshev lasot lehem. Maybe the people of Yehuda, when they hear you read this Megillah, they'll recognize all the evil that's about to befall them if they don't do tshuva. L'man yashuvu ish midarko hara, and if they listen, then maybe they'll return from their evil ways. V'salachti lavonam ulechatotam, and then I could forgive them for their sins and their iniquities, and that could prevent the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. Pasuk Dalet. V'yikra Yirmiyahu et Baruch ben Neriah, v'yichtov Baruch mipir Yirmiyahu et kol divrei Adonai asher diber elav amigilat sefer. Yirmiyahu calls his assistant and his main scribe, named Baruch ben Neriah. We already met him in chapter 32, when Yirmiyahu was writing the deed, when he was buying the field from his uncle Hananel, and now we meet him again. And in Pasuk Hey, Vaitzaveg Yirmiyahu et Baruch Lemor, Yirmiyahu commands Baruch as follows, Ani Atzur lo ochal avo beit Adonai. I'm held back, or I'm basically in hiding. Recall back from chapter 26, that Yirmiyahu was put on trial in the fourth year of Yehoiakim. When they wanted to kill him, he was able to escape, but he no longer has permission to speak freely in the Beit HaMikdash, and therefore, if he has a message to give to the people, he has to give it to Baruch, and Baruch is going to write it down now and tell it to the people. Pasuk Vav, Uvata ata, v'karata b'mgila asher katafta mipi, et divrei Adonai bo'znei ha'am, beit Adonai b'yom tzom. I want you to go and read this Megillah, which you are writing from my mouth, all the words of God, and read this in the ears of the people in God's house on a fast day. And also in the ears of all the people of Yehuda who are coming from all their cities to the Beit HaMikdash to this fast day, I want you to read it. Maybe if they hear the words of this Megillah and it will make a proper impression upon them, maybe that it will inspire them to pray properly. They'll take upon themselves to repent from their evil ways. Because God's anger and wrath is kindled now. And if they don't repent, they're about to receive a very severe punishment. Baruch did exactly as Yirmiyahu commanded him, to read this book of the words of God in God's house. One of the most important conclusions we can reach from this story is about how religious the people are, even during the reign of Yehoiakim. This was one of the problems we were dealing with in our study of the early chapters of Yirmiyahu. Who is Yirmiyahu giving his rebuke to? Is he talking to people who follow other gods all day long, what we'd call nowadays chilonim? Or is he talking to what we'd call dati'im? Is he talking to religious people? Here we see that the people are gathering on a fast day. Here we see that God instructs Yirmiyahu to read this Megillah on a fast day in God's house in the Beit HaMikdash. This means that most of the people are coming to the Beit HaMikdash, they're davening properly, they're even having fast days. In the next set of psukim, we'll see one of those fast days. And that proves our assumption that the clientele that Yirmiyahu is talking to are basically religious. And that's why they don't understand what he's talking about, and that's why they don't accept when he rebukes them for the bad behavior, they think that they're doing fine. We'll see some more examples of this as we continue our study. So let's read now the story of when this was read in public. Recall that we have to wait for a fast day to read it. Pasuk Tet. Vayi b'shanah chamishit, Lo'yakim ben Yoshio, Melech Yuda, Bachodesh Hatshi'i, Karu Tzom Lifnei Adonai, Kol Ha'am B'Yerushalayim, V'Chol Ha'am Haba'im Yarei Yehuda B'Yerushalayim. In the 5th year of Yoyakim, how many months later that was, it's not clear, it depends on when the year was incremented, but several months later, it's the 9th month, which is Kislev, it's wintertime, and they called out a fast day in Yerushalayim, and all the people of Yehuda and Yerushalayim are gathering now in the Beit HaMikdash. Why would there be a fast day in the 9th month? So the simple explanation, based on Masechet Tanit, that in the 9th month, if it doesn't rain, there's fast days for rain. Recall that it's supposed to rain in the 8th month in Cheshvan, and according to Masechet Tanit, if it doesn't rain after several weeks into Cheshvan, when we get to Kislev, you begin to declare public fast days in the hope that God will listen to our prayers and give rain at the proper time. The only other reason in ancient times that they would call for a fast day would be a time of national peril. The other possibility here is that due to the Babylonian advance, the people had called a fast day to pray to God to save them from the Babylonians. From outside sources, we know that in the 5th year of Jehoiakim, around this time of the year, the Babylonian forces had already defeated the Egyptians in Carchemish, and now they're marching their way along the main highway towards the coast. Ashkelon is destroyed around this time of the year, and they're slowly taking over all the coastal cities in the land of Canaan. Therefore, the people in Yehuda and Yerushalayim expect that they're next in line, and soon the Babylonians will be attacking Yerushalayim. That would be a very good reason to call a fast day. Remember that only several months earlier, Yirmiyahu, in the 4th year of Jehoiakim, had warned the people to accept Babylonian sovereignty, but this seems to be a time when the big question is, do we give in to Babel, or are we going to fight them? And we're going to see, public opinion is going to be, we can fight. If the reason for the fast is because of the fear of the Babylonian invasion, it'll make the rest of the details in this parak much easier to understand. So let's see now what happens. Pasuk Yod. Vayikra Baruch b'sefer et divrei Yirmiyahu beit Adonai. So Baruch, Yirmiyahu's scribe, comes to the Beit HaMikdash, and he reads this book, this Megillat Sefer, in God's house, Belishkat Gemariyahu ben Shafan HaSofer, b'chatzer ha'elyon, in the upper courtyard of the Beit HaMikdash, he's reading it from the office of Gemariyahu ben Shafan, Petach Shar Beit Adonai Chadash b'oznei kol ha'am, opposite the new gate of the Beit HaMikdash, in the upper courtyard, in the ears of all the people. Why did they choose the office of Gemariyahu ben Shafan to read? We're going to see that the Shafan family has very close ties with Yirmiyahu from way back. Shafan was the scribe during the time of King Yoshio. Now we're under the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Yoshio. And now, this is the office of Shafan's son, Gemariyahu ben Shafan. In the next pasuk, we're going to find the next generation, Michael ben Gemariyahu ben Shafan, who's going to be a key character in the story that follows. What's also interesting, in fact rather amazing, that in the excavations of Ir David from the 70s and 80s, they found a lot of bule. A bule is a type of a stamp that an official would use to stamp his document. And in those excavations, they found bule, these seals, of Gemariyahu ben Shafan, also of Baruch ben Neriah, and also, there's a character later on in this parak, Yerachmiel ben HaMelech, they found his name as well in those excavations. And when you think of it, that these are events from several thousand years ago, recorded in the book of Yirmiyahu, that we've kept in our tradition for so many years, and then we excavate the city of Ir David, and we find those very same names. If you ever go to the Israel Museum in Yerushalayim, you can see many examples of bule just like these. So let's go back to our story now and find out what happened when they read the Sefer. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayishma Michiyahu ben Gemariyahu ben Shafan et kol divrei Adonai me'al ha-Sefer. Michiyahu, the son of Gemariyahu ben Shafan, recalled that this Megillah was being read by Baruch from the office of Gemariyahu ben Shafan. Gemariyahu himself is not going to be there. He's going to be somewhere else. His son Michiyahu hears what's going on. He hears the words of God. He gets all excited, and he's going to go to his father to tell him what's going on. In the meantime, his father and many other ministers, they're having a ministerial meeting near the king's house, not too far from the Beit HaMikdash. Pasuk Yud Bet. Vayered Beit HaMelech al Lishkat HaSofer, v'nei sham kol ha-sarim yoshvim. Michiel, Gemariel's son, runs to this government meeting in the king's house, and all the ministers are sitting there. And now we get a list of some of them. Elishama HaSofer, Udlayahu ben Shmayahu, Danatan ben Achbor, Ugmariel ben Shafan, v'titkiah ben Hananiahu, v'chol ha-sarim. We get five important officials, including his father Gemariel ben Shafan. Pasuk Yud Gimel, v'agir le-Michiel et kol ha-dvarim asher shamea, Bikro Baruch b'sefer b'oznei ha'am. Michiel told all these things that he heard when Baruch was reading the Sefer to the ears of the people. Pasuk Yedalad, Vayishlchu kol ha-sarim a-Baruch et Yudi ben Netanyahu ben Shlemayahu ben Kushi lemor. The ministers are very worried about what's being read in public, and they send a messenger named Yehudi. We get his whole yichus here. we get his whole genealogy for four generations, and they tell him as follows, Hamgila asher karata bo bosnei ha'am, kechenu biyadcha valech. They send Yehudi to go to Baruch and tell him, take this Megillah that you're reading in public, take it with you in your hand, and come to us. Vayikach Baruch ben Eriyahu et ha'Megillah biyado ve'yavo alehem. So Baruch takes the Megillah that he's reading, and he goes to the ministers where they're having their meeting in the area of the king's court. Pasuk Tefav. Ve'emru elav. Shevna. They tell Baruch, have a seat. Ukraina Bosnenu. I want you to read it first to us. It sounds like they want to hear it first before it's read in public. They want to hear it for themselves. Vaikra Baruch Bosnehem. And Baruch reads it to them, and now they have a better understanding of what was being read in public. Pasuk Tetzain. Vahich Kishamam et kol advarim. When they heard all the things that were written in this Megillah, Bachadu ish arehu. They all became very scared. Ve'amru abaruch. And they asked Baruch now, Haged nagid lamelech et kol advarim ele? Should we tell this to the king? Most of these ministers we're going to see have a bit of sympathy for Yirmiyahu, especially Gemariel ben Shafan. And we'll see later on, we're going to be very pro-Yirmiyahu when this issue gets to the king. However, other ministers are very wary of Yirmiyahu and are against him. And now they're going to ask Baruch another question. Pasuk Yitzayin. But Baruch shalu lemor, hagen elanu, ech katabtet kol advarim ele mipiv. They ask Baruch as follows, please tell us, how did you write these things? Did you hear them word for word from Yirmiyahu? Is this a summary? Are you making this up? Is it partially Yirmiyahu's words? Or is this word for word from Yirmiyahu himself? Vayomer lehem Baruch. Baruch told him as follows. V'piv yikra elai. From his mouth he read all these words to me. Et kol advarim ha'ele. V'ani kotev ala sefer bedyo. And I wrote everything down that he said on the sefer with ink. From this pasuk, in the laws of Stam, and the laws of writing a sefer Torah, the mezuzot, etc., we learn a lot of laws about how Sefer Torah has to be written with ink. So let's see now what the reaction of the Sarim is going to be. Pasuk Yotet. Vayumra Sarim el Baruch. Lech yisater atav Yirmiyahu. The ministers tell Baruch, go hide, you and Yirmiyahu. We can see that these ministers are very sympathetic with Yirmiyahu, otherwise they would have arrested them. They have a very good idea of what the king's going to say, but these ministers seem to be still from the time of Yoshio, and they have a soft spot for Yirmiyahu, and they're worried about his words. And therefore they give some very good advice to Baruch. Based on what you read, Baruch, the king's not going to be very happy when he hears this, and most likely he's going to want you arrested. Therefore, get out of here now, while it's still safe, and you and Yirmiyahu go into hiding. Vish ayeda ifatem. No one should know where you are. We're going to see later on how correct they were. Pasachaf. Vayvo la melech hatzera. Then they go to the king's courtyard. Vetamgila ifkidu, belishkat elishama sofer. They took the Megillah, and they put it for safekeeping in the office of Elishama, the head scribe. And then the ministers reported to the king everything that happened. In other words, they told the king, Yirmiyahu had sent Baruch to read these words. It was being read in public. We stopped it. We took the Megillah from him, and now it's being kept in safekeeping in the office of Elishama, the scribe. Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Vayishlach ha-melech et Yehudi lekachet et ha-Megillah vayikacheha milishkat Elishama ha-sofer. Once again, Yehudi seems to be this messenger that all the ministers seem to use to go back and forth. Now the king sends Yehudi to take this Megillah, and he takes it from the office of Elishama. Yehudi reads all the words of this Megillah in the ears of all the ministers and the king himself, everyone standing around the king. Pasuk Bet. When this is being read in front of all the ministers, the king was sitting in his winter palace. Why the winter palace? Because it's Bachodesh HaTshi'i, it's in the ninth month and it's cold. V'ta'ach lefanav mevo'aret. The ach is some type of a heater, and mevo'aret means it's burning, like leva'er, like bi'ur chametz. Pasuk Chaf Gimel. V'ahi kikro Yehudi shalosh tlatot ba'arba. As Yehudi would read this Megillah three or four columns at a time, yikre'el betara sofer. The king would come and take a scribe's knife, and he would cut the Megillah after reading three or four columns. V'hashlech ela'esh asher ela'ach. And then each piece of parchment from this Megillah that he would cut off, he would throw it into the fire in that furnace. Atom kol Megillah ala esh asher la'ach. Until the entire Megillah was finished, he threw every single piece that was read into the fire of this furnace. Defiantly, he's making a statement by cutting it and throwing piece by piece into the fire. He's making a very powerful statement to the ministers. He doesn't like what he's hearing. Now, Yirmiyahu was hoping that when this would be read in public, it would cause the people to fear God, to get concerned, and maybe repent. Because recall, if the Babylonians are now beginning their march onto Yerushalayim, that may be already a vindication of what Yirmiyahu predicted earlier. And maybe now they truly do tshuva and return to God and change their ways, and that can prevent the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. And he was hoping, if not the people, maybe the king and the ministers, and we see some of the ministers were very interested in what was being read. But now the opposite happened. Instead of fearing and changing their ways, Pasach Chavdala tells us, verse 24, "Belo pachadu, v'lo karu et bigdehem." They were not fearful at all, and they didn't rent their clothes. Ha-melech v'chol avadav ha-shomim et kol devarim ha'ele. The king and all of his servants who heard all these words, it did not affect them at all. They didn't turn and fear God now. They didn't rent their clothes. Instead, they defiantly burnt it. Soon we'll see why they're so angry. There's a parallel here, which is very interesting, to the story of the 18th year of Yoshiel, which is recorded in Sefer Melachim and in Divrei Yamim, when they found the Sefer Torah when renovating the Beit HaMikdash in the 18th year of Yoshiel. Recall that the king then was Yoshiel. He sent Shaphan the Sofer to the Beit HaMikdash to oversee that renovation. And Chilkiyahu the Kohen Gadol gave him the Sefer Torah that they found, and they brought it to the king. It was read in front of the king, in front of all the ministers, and when the king Yoshiel heard the words of that Sefer Torah that they found, it says exactly the opposite. There, they became very fearful, and there they rent their clothes, karud bigdehem, and that began a very strong tshuva movement, where Yoshiel gathered the people, and they made a big korban Pesach, and they made a new brit, they entered a covenant, and they took upon themselves to follow God properly. That repentance did not last as long as Yirmiyahu had hoped, but it had made an impact. Now, with the next generation, we're doing something very similar. And notice how everyone is the next generation. Now it's Yirmiyahu, the son of Chilkiyahu, the Navi. The scribe, instead of Shaphan, is Gemariel ben Shaphan. And the king now is Yehoyakim, the son of Yoshiel. It seems like we're trying to achieve the same effect, and now it backfires. Instead of listening to the words of this Megillah and causing the people to repent, instead, the king becomes defiant, and now he's going to threaten to kill Yirmiyahu. Pasach Hafei, we're going to see that not all the Sarim were so happy about what's going on. Pasach Hafei, V'gam El Natan U'Delayahu U'Gemariahu Yivgiyu B'melech Levoti Srof Etam Gila. El Natan and Delayahu and Gemariahu, those were the ministers that we saw before, they begged the king, don't burn it, V'lo Shema Lehem. He didn't listen to them. Here it's very interesting that we see that in Yehoiakim's government, we have some ministers from the previous administration, from the time of Yoshiel, who are sympathetic to Yirmiyahu, who seem to be a lot more religious, and definitely don't want the king to burn the Megillah. They're afraid of what might happen. The king doesn't listen to them, and he burns it anyhow. And now listen what the king does in Pasach Chavav. V'etzaveh ha-melech et Yirachme'el ben ha-melech, v'etzrayel ben Azriel, v'etzlamayel ben Avdeel, lekach et Baruch ha-sofer, v'et Yirmiyahu ha-navi, v'esterim Adonai. Now the king calls upon some of his ministers who are on his side, and he commands them to go and arrest Baruch and Yirmiyahu, but instead, God is able to save them, and they're not able to arrest them. In this story, we understand now why Yirmiyahu, in the earlier chapters, was complaining about everyone trying to kill him and everyone chasing after him, and how sad he is with his plight in life and the job that he has to do. So this is one of the key stories where we see that there's a warrant out for his arrest and why the king wants to kill him. But there's a big question here. Why is the king so angry? What is it, in the words of Yirmiyahu, that causes the king and many of the ministers to be so fearful and so angry at Yirmiyahu that they want to kill him? If he tells the people to improve their behavior, what's so terrible? If he tells the people to worship other idols, many prophets have been saying this for ages, and the kings don't go around killing them. We have to see now, why is it that the king is so angry, and why is it that they want Yirmiyahu dead? Pasach Chavzayin, Vahi dvar Adonai el Yirmiyahu, achrei srof ha-melech et ha-megillah, v'tadvarim asher ketav Baruch mipi Yirmiyahu lemor. After this happened, and Yirmiyahu is going now into hiding together with Baruch, God commands Yirmiyahu to publish again. And listen what he tells him in Pasach Chavchet. Shuv kach lecha Megillah acheret. Take another scroll, another Megillah, uktov aleha et kol hadvarim harishonim asher hayu al Megillah harishona asher saraf Yehoiakim melech Yehuda. All the things that were on the first Megillah, the one that Yehoiakim burnt, I want you to write it again on the next Megillah. Basically, publish the second edition. And how about Yehoiakim? Pasach Chavtet is the key to understanding everything that happened. We're going to read it slowly and carefully, because this pasuk is going to explain what was the reason why Yehoiakim was so angry and why did he burn this Megillah. Pasach Chavtet. Val Yehoiakim melech Yehuda tomar. About Yehoiakim, the king of Yehuda, say as follows. Ko amar Adonai, this is the word of God to Yehoiakim. Atas sarafte tamgila azot lemor. You burnt this Megillah saying, Madua chatafta aleha lemor, bo yavo melech bavel vishchit et haaretz hazot vishbit mimena adam ubehima. Why did you write in this Megillah that the king of Babel is going to come and destroy this land and get rid of all animals and men from the hills of Yehuda. Now we finally found out what was it that got the king so angry and the people so concerned. It wasn't just Yirmiyahu telling the people to repent. That's not a reason to kill somebody, and that's not a reason to cause a commotion in the temple. But Yirmiyahu's nevuah about giving in to Babel, the prediction that Babel is going to come and take over the land, especially what we saw in chapter 25, that Yirmiyahu is demanding that the people subjugate themselves to Babel, to accept their sovereignty, and not to fight. That is going to ruin, in the eyes of Jehoiakim, the entire war effort against the Babylonians. Now, as we explained before, we see the dangers of what happens when politics and religion clash. We explained when we studied chapter 25 that Yirmiyahu was telling the people that their punishment for their poor religious behavior, especially the poor ethical behavior, as well as the worship of other gods, all that together had angered God so much that he decided he has to put an end to this, and he's going to subjugate the entire nation to Babel. If they accept Babel, they can stay in their land. If they don't accept Babel, the city will be destroyed and they'll go into exile. But the people don't buy that. They accuse Yirmiyahu in chapter 26 of being a false prophet. They want to kill him for that, because the people have the exact opposite approach. They want to fight Babel. To prove this, we simply need to read two psukim from Perek Lamed Chet, from chapter 38, which is several years later, but reflects this exact same problem. Yirmiyahu is making again his prediction that anyone who stays in the city is going to die. Anyone who puts up a white flag and goes over to the Babylonians will live. That's Perek Lamed Chet, Pasuk Bet. And then the ministers have a very sharp reaction to the words of Yirmiyahu. Perek Lamed Chet, Pasuk Dalet, verse 4. Ve'imru ha-sarim el ha-melech. The ministers tell the king, Yumatna ha-ish hazeh. We have to kill this man, Yirmiyahu. Why? Ki ha-ken hu merapet yidei anshei ha-melchama ha-nisharim be-herazot. He's weakening the hands of the men of war who've remained in the city. Ve'et yidei kol ha-am le-daber lehem kadvarim eileh. He's weakening also the people in the home front. And when the people hear these things, Ki ha-ish hazeh enenu doresh l'shlom la-am hazeh kim l'ra. This man, Yirmiyahu, is not caring about the good of this nation, he's only wanting to bring them down. We see that the ministers are so angry at Yirmiyahu's prediction and advice to give in to the Babylonians that they want him killed because he's weakening the soldiers. Perek Lamed Chet is from the time period of Tzidkiyahu, but that same problem applied earlier because Jehoiakim had also decided to rebel against Babel. And when Yirmiyahu makes his prediction and talks about the imminent victory of the Babylonians, in essence he's telling the people not to fight. That's why the king is so angry. That's why he burns the Megillah. That's why there's so much concern in the Beit HaMikdash. It has nothing to do with religion. It basically has all to do about politics. As we mentioned before, this is a tragedy in the life of Yirmiyahu because his message is so misunderstood that people only understand Yirmiyahu as a pro-Babylonian trying to convince the people to give in to Babel. They don't take his religious message. They only hear the political consequences of his message, and therefore they attack him and don't listen to his message at all. Let's return now to Perek Lamed Vav and see what happens. Pasuk Lamed, verse 30. Because Jehoiakim burnt this Megillah and wanted Yirmiyahu to be killed, this is the word of God about what will happen to Jehoiakim. Lo yeh lo yoshev al kisei David. He will not have any descendant sitting on the throne of David. V'nivloto tiyeh mushlechet l'chora b'yom o l'kerach b'alayla. His carcass, nivloto, is going to be left in the open to the dry heat of the day and to the coldness of night. Basically, Yirmiyahu is saying, you're going to die a death, and no one's going to take care of your body. Usually, after a king dies, his body is given a special burial. As we saw before with Tzidkiyahu, he's going to get what's called a sreifa. They're going to burn his goods. They're going to eulogize him. You won't receive the proper burial. Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Ufakarati alav ve'al zaro ve'alav adav et avonam. I'm going to punish him and his children and all the servants for their sins. Ve'veti alehem ve'yoshvei Yerushalayim ve'el Yishuda. I am indeed going to bring this punishment on the inhabitants of Yerushalayim and on the people of Yehudah. All the evil that I said is going to befall them because they didn't listen to me. Indeed, this is going to happen. This seems to have been the last chance that God was giving the people in the time of Jehoiakim to listen. And now, if they don't repent and don't accept upon themselves the bad behavior and change their ways, God's warning, Babel is going to come and defeat your city. Pasuk Lamed Bet. V'Yirmiyahu lekach Megillah acheret, as God instructed him, Yirmiyahu takes another Megillah. V'itnau Baruch ben Neriah ha-sofer, he gives it to his scribe, Baruch ben Neriah. V'ichtov aleha mipir Yirmiyahu et kol divrei ha-sefer, asher saraf Jehoiakim melech Yehuda ba'esh. He writes on this second edition now, all the words that were on the first book, that Jehoiakim, the king of Yehuda, had burnt. V'od nasaf aleihem dvarim rabim kahima. In addition to that, he added other words and other nevot of Yirmiyahu similar to those. As we're going to see, chapter 36 is the end of an entire unit in Sefer Yirmiyahu, because starting in chapter 37, we have a set of about 6 or 7 chapters, all the way till chapter 45, which reads very much like Sefer Melachim, but the unit of Nevuot, of Yirmiyahu's rebuke of the people, ends in chapter 36. Why chapter 36 is located where it is, we're going to have to explain in our next set of shiurim.